So, here's a question for you.
Have you heard the phrase, you do you, or you should be creating some boundaries? Do y'all say stuff like this? Maybe you say things like, I'm protecting my peace, be your main character, or something like, do it for the plot. Now, don't worry. I promise that I will not use any of those phrases at any time in the near future. But think about it. What do those sorts of phrases have in common? Well, they're pretty much promoting the idea that people are basically free to do whatever they want, and we are free to cut them off whenever we want. Now, don't get me wrong, I love a good boundary. Caring for ourselves is also really important, and we have to prioritize our mental and emotional health. But phrases like the examples that we just said demonstrate an important idea. Our choices don't just affect us. Our choices impact others. Here's what's true. We've all been there. Someone else makes a choice, but it hurts you. Maybe your friend bails on plans and you're left feeling rejected. Or your sibling eats the last slice of pizza, even though they know you called dibs. Or one person in class cheats on a test, but the teacher is making you all retake the test. But it can also get more serious. Some of our most hurtful experiences have come from other people's actions. Maybe you remember something a sibling, parent, classmate, friend, teacher, or even a total stranger did that still hurts you today. They might have done it years ago and forgot about it 10 minutes later, while you can't forget about it hundreds of days later. On the flip side, it could be that our actions have hurt others. Maybe we didn't even mean to, or maybe we did, but either way, our actions had an impact. We've done things we wish we could undo, maybe even the moment they happened, like an act of betrayal that shattered someone's trust, or a secret we shared that we promised to keep, or maybe we started a fight or posted something online we wish we never had. Just like someone else's actions can wound us, our choices can hurt others in ways we never intended. So here's the question. Are we free to do whatever we want, even when it hurts someone else? And while phrases like you do you and be your own main character that suggests that each of us only needs to worry about ourselves can feel liberating and freeing, our words, actions, and choices impact the people around us. It becomes obvious that life doesn't happen in a vacuum. So how do we balance our personal freedoms with the reality that we live side by side with others who matter just as much? In this series, we've been looking at the book of Genesis from the Old Testament. It's the first book of the Bible, and it literally means beginning. Very early in our origin story, we meet two brothers named Cain and Abel. Their story begins with each of them bringing an offering to God. Abel's offering receives God's favor, but Cain's offering does not. Here's how the Bible describes it. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. If you're like me, you might have questions about why Abel's offering is accepted and Cain's wasn't, and that's valid. People who study the Bible have speculated all sorts of reasons why this happened, but let's land on this one. The heart behind the offering mattered to God. Cain and Abel both brought something, but it seems as if only Abel did it with the right heart. But no matter why it happened, Cain was furious about this turn of events. Then, instead of dealing with his disappointment in a healthy way, he lets his anger take control. Let's pause here for a second. It's important for you and I to pay attention to our reactions. When we're upset, disappointed, or jealous, like Cain was, we should think about why we're feeling those emotions. When we name our emotions and get to the heart of them, we're better able to consider getting help to deal with them in a healthy way. God actually warns Cain, telling him he has a choice in how he responds. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Notice how God warns Cain. It's almost like God is telling Cain to be careful, to not do something he will regret. But also notice some of the phrases God uses. If you do, and if you don't do. These seem to indicate that Cain had a choice. It seems like God is kind of acknowledging that Cain had the freedom to choose his next actions. But despite the warning, Cain doesn't handle his anger well. He decides to take matters into his own hands. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where's your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" That question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" gets right to the heart of the issue. Cain is basically saying, "I'm not responsible for him. It's not my job to watch out for him." But the truth is, Cain was responsible. His actions had grave consequences. They ended his brother's life and brought serious repercussions on Cain himself. There's a reason this story matters to us today. You know, beyond the whole murdering people is bad, okay? God designed us to live in connection with each other, to care for each other, and to take responsibility for how our choices and actions impact those around us. Now, this is a dramatic example. Cain didn't just shrug off his responsibility, but actively harmed his brother. The results were devastating. Most likely, you and I aren't going to do something this extreme and drastic, but we still have the potential to hurt other people in all kinds of ways. Here's what's important for us to remember. We are responsible for each other. You are your brother's or sister's keeper. And so am I. It means that we're here to support and look out for one another, not shrug off responsibility when things get tough. Taking responsibility doesn't limit your freedom. It actually helps you experience freedom in a healthier, God-designed way, where your actions lift others up instead of tearing them down. In fact, look at the words of Jesus. "Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. Anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." Jesus highlights that when we welcome or serve someone else in a way that lines up with how he might serve others, even in the smallest way, it's as if we're welcoming or serving him. He's reminding us that our lives aren't meant to be lived in isolation, disconnected from how we affect other people. Instead, we're part of a broader community where offering kindness and care, even just a cup of cold water, has real significance in God's eyes. In other words, we can't simply shrug and say, "It's not my problem," because Jesus teaches that how we treat others should be our concern, and it directly reflects our connection with him. Listen, you and I have to recognize the limits of our freedom. Freedom isn't about doing whatever we want at the expense of others. It's about using our freedom in ways that bring good to the people around us. Let's challenge the "you do you" mindset. The idea that we're all just islands doing our own thing might sound good, but it's not how life works. What you do affects others, and what they do affects you. In an ecosystem, a plant's well-being is connected to how animals scatter the plant's seeds or fertilize the plant. The plant may get water and sunlight depending where it's located near other plants. Some plants even thrive with the help of bacteria or fungus. In an ecosystem, the health of every plant and animal is connected to each other. So, How do we live in a way that demonstrates that we care about other plants around us? Here are some practical ways to live like we're responsible for each other. One, take care of others. Is there a friend who needs encouragement? A sibling who could use a hand with homework? Look for ways to show up for people in your life. Listen to the people around you. Instead of talking about yourself all the time, take an interest in the things that interest them. When they answer, give your full attention. Make eye contact. Put down your phone. Don't just think about your needs. Think about what's going on in the lives of people around you. What are they dealing with? What might they be thinking or feeling? Two, think before you act. Remember what we said last week? Before you make a choice, slow down and ask yourself some questions. Consider, how will this affect the people around me? If it's gonna hurt someone, it's probably not the right choice. Is it unloving? If your little sister is annoying you, it's not okay to make her cry. That's hurtful. If one of your parents is making a decision that you disagree with, it's not okay to disrespect them. That's unloving. If you don't like someone, it's not okay to be cruel to them. That's an attempt to pull you up and push them down. Now, if someone is hurting themselves or you, it's okay to get help. At the same time, sometimes doing the right thing still upsets other people. The goal is to do your best to choose actions that minimize harm to others and do as much good as possible. And three, be willing to take responsibility. When you mess up, and we all do, own it. Apologize. Make it right. That's what responsibility looks like. Say, I'm sorry when you mess something up. This is a powerful way to build a bridge with people and remove a barrier. Take ownership. Humble yourself. Ask for forgiveness. Owning your mistakes may be difficult at first, but you'll get better at it over time, and it's a great way to build people up. The good news is, we don't have to do this alone. Jesus showed us what it looks like to take responsibility for others. He gave up his own freedom to care for us, and through his example, we can learn to do the same for the people in our lives. Imagine what the world could look like if we all started living like we're responsible for each other. What if, instead of ignoring people's needs, we went out of our way to help? What if instead of saying, you do you, we said, how can I support you? Instead of saying, not my problem, we asked, how can I help? This week, let's choose to live like we're responsible for each other, because the truth is, we are. So as you head to small groups, think about this. What's one way you can use your freedom for the good of others?